Sometimes, all you need is a little hope, a little push, and little encouragement to get out there and make a difference. I'm Rashika Jayaprakash, back at it with Little Helpers, Big Inspirations. So are you ready to get inspired today? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Little Helpers, Big Inspirations. Today, we are joined with Chase. Chase is amazing, awesome, and I can't wait for everybody to hear more about him. Hi, Chase.
Hi.
Would you just share a little bit more about yourself for our listeners?
Yeah, I am a junior in high school, rising senior, actually. I'm from Tampa, Florida, and I started a nonprofit called Eager Brothers when I was in the fifth grade, and I've basically been involved with service my entire life. I'm really interested in student government and all the organizations of my school I've been a part of, such as the Environmental Club and the Beta Club and the Key Club. So I'm really interested in leadership, and I'm also interested in going into business and psychology in college. So that's just a little bit about me.
That's awesome. And yay, finally another rising senior that I've been interviewing. I don't think I've had anyone in the same grade as me. Like, I know we have in the past, but right now, like, senior year, it's getting pretty real, isn't it?
That's true. Yeah.
And I know, like, similarities between, like, the time frames of when we found it too, because I found it Little Helpers when I was in third grade, and, you know, here you are in fifth grade. So I think it's so great to see that we have people that, like, start their initiatives from, like, a really young age, just to show that, you know, like, service has been with us for a really long time. Because I know, like, this is just kind of, like, a problem that, like, people in my school have been seeing, and how it's, like, people start things just for, like, college apps and things like that. But I really like noticing that, like, there are still people with, like, the genuine good in their heart. And that's, like, great that you're another example of that. So could you like to tell us a little bit more about Eco Brothers and how you create change in your community?
Yeah, so Eco Brothers initially started as a service project when I was in sixth grade or fifth grade. And it basically just started as a way to recycle books, use books in my community. I realized that a lot of these businesses and a lot of people in my community were either throwing away books or giving them to Goodwill in places that weren't really using them for the best. So I decided that me and my brother should start a service project and start reusing these books and donating them to places where they could really need them and use them, such as libraries and elementary schools and nursing homes, just places that really needed to use them. And it kind of developed into a nonprofit in 2019 when we realized that we needed to start raising money for more specific problems, such as getting dual language books for the really large Hispanic population in the Tampa Bay area, and getting books with diversity to meet everyone's needs and interests when they're, you know, picking out a book. So it's developed a lot over time, and we have reached 215,000 books donated, and we've been lucky enough to reach 55,000 students in our county and in our state.
That's amazing. Congratulations on all those different stats that you just said out there. I think that's amazing.
Thank you.
And I hope that that keeps growing, donating more books and everything like that. So where exactly did the eco part of the Eco Brothers, like, how does that play into your whole, like, book part of it?
Yeah. So, well, we initially started to recycle books, but with our nonprofit, we engage in a lot of other community service events that don't really relate to books in our community. So me and my brother have organized a lot of beach cleanups and park cleanups in the past. We've also been doing a lot of food recycling and food drives in our community. So we kind of just put everything under the name of Eco, just to, you know, promote the environment and to promote, you know, service that is related to helping out the environment.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I know, like, yeah, I think it's always better to have kind of like an umbrella name, because I know that's kind of like what we do with Little Helpers as well. Because I know, like, while it's really great to have one focused initiative, kind of like spreading out our, like, initiatives, like, throughout also gives us, like, a better way to connect with more people. So I think it's really good that you have that, like, eco part of it as well. I think that's great. So what is, like, who really inspired you to start Eco Brothers, and what was, like, kind of like the thoughts behind it?
Well, I started in elementary school, so there was definitely a lot of different people that inspired me. But I think one main group of people was my National Elementary Honor Society teacher. She was my fifth grade teacher as well, but I joined the National Honor Society in fourth grade, and they were always involved in service. They were doing a lot of these events that were involved around service. Each one of our meetings had a simple act of service such as writing cards to veterans that we were involved in. So I was being introduced to a lot of these acts of service at a young age. And one day we actually had an event that was, it was called Boogies for Books. And it was this really fun dance that was also kind of a book drive. So to enter the dance, you had to give a book. And so when I saw that all these people were really bringing the books, I knew that like it really started me to, or it really inspired me to start my project, because I saw that all these kids had all these books laying around their house and they wanted to, you know, give them to someone in need. They wanted to make change by just giving one simple book. And so I thought it was a really easy project to start, and I knew it was going to make a really big change in my community.
That's awesome. And I know, like, so I'm actually currently the national, our high school's national honor society. I'm the vice president of communications.
Oh,
and
wow.
We're currently trying to like start a national elementary honor society. And I know we're currently weighing like the pros and cons, like the logistics. And just to hear from you how much that's impacted you and created a change in your life, I'm sure I'm definitely going to use you as an example next time we talk about it. So thank you so much for just talking about that. I think that's great. Just from like starting from the young ages. And I know like since you started such at a young age, you understand like all the, like the different like challenges and the other people that you meet throughout, like just throughout your journey. So who do you want to inspire? Like, who are you thinking of like your target audience? Like, who do you want to see and what kind of messages do you have?
Yeah, I think the main target of who I'm trying to inspire is the youth that I'm impacting. Every single time we make a book delivery, I'm introduced to a lot of elementary schoolers in my community. And I know that, or I hope that they're really inspired by my projects because they're directly able to see the book deliveries that I'm doing in their schools. They're able to learn about my project. And so I really want to inspire them and, you know, help them reach out to people in their community that can help them with their own passions and, you know, maybe help them spark their own project.
Yes, that's awesome. And I know like even with Little Helpers, and I can connect a lot with, I think that's like something that I can, that's really making me really happy, just that I can connect with someone else on like the different projects we do. And since like you've been seeing this from such a young age, you must have run into a lot of challenges, I'm guessing, just like with like this nonprofit starting from a young age. And I know like books, like collecting books, like communication and all that. So can you tell us just about a couple of challenges you faced and how you overcome them?
Yeah, of course. So throughout our project, we've definitely been faced with a lot of challenges. And I think the way that we were introduced to these challenges is by talking to the people that we were helping out and that we were impacting. So a big example of this was I mentioned the dual language books earlier. We didn't know the demographics of a lot of the schools that we were donating to, but we were specifically donating to them because they were Title I or low-income schools. But when we went into some of these schools, the media specialists and librarians brought to interest the fact that a lot of these schools were a majority of Hispanic students, and that English was not their first language. And this was not a problem that we really knew when we were researching these type of schools to donate to. So it's kind of sparked a change in our project, and we knew that we wanted to focus on this for, you know, 1 or 2 years and really focus on these schools to provide Spanish and English dual language books to these communities. So that was one of the challenges that we faced in the wide span of our projects, and we've had to adapt the project a lot. Another challenge that's kind of been more recent is the book bannings that have been happening in the nation, and it's been really big in Florida. But me and my brother have kind of taken the stance that, you know, we should be promoting the right to, you know, choose what type of books you want to read, and for all these books to be accessible to kids, because, you know, you might, the best way to explore the type of books is in your school library. The kids that we're impacting might not have books of their own at home, and so these school libraries are very important because they might not be able to buy the books that they're interested in outside of school. So that's kind of one thing that we're challenging at this current moment, and we think it's very important that we reach out to our community and find some solutions and find some support. So yeah.
But yeah, I never even realized like how big the book banning would impact even like nonprofits that are trying to give back. I know like it's been like a really big thing around the country, but just to hear like how that has just kind of like streamlined into even your nonprofit, I think that's really interesting. And I'm really hoping that you can get more community support with that. So
thank
how
you.
Was, like, Did like the pandemic affect you too? Because I know like the pandemic affected us with like the amount of like service projects, just because like since we were trying to bring more face-to-face connections and trying to like show kids like the real impact of giving back, like hands-on and stuff. After the pandemic, I know it's been really hard to get that back up. So what about you guys?
Yeah, we had a lot of trouble of communicating with a lot of the schools since most of the schools weren't in session. It didn't really seem too impactful to have a book delivery since most kids weren't even in school to be able to pick out. You know, the whole point of our deliveries is so that students can come into their school library and pick out one or two books of their own. And so we kind of found that it was not as impactful to kind of just leave the books at the doorstep of the schools, but we kind of persisted, and we still kept up our donations, and we still tried to fundraise and do a lot of things that seemed right at the moment, seemed right that we could, keep our project going. And so it was definitely a challenge, but we kind of just, waited for everything to calm down before we started deliveries again. So yeah, I would say it definitely impacted us, and it definitely slowed us down, but we kind of just kept our patience, I'd say.
Yeah, and I could totally agree with that. So what are like the exciting moments you've had with like Eco Brothers giving back? So this can include like awards, just basic special moments or anything like that.
Yeah, I think participating in the nonprofit and being recognized for a lot of awards is a really great thing. I think some of the more exciting things that we've been able to do is we've been able to travel to a lot of places. So I've been able to travel to DC to be recognized for a few awards, and we actually got invited to the Tampa Bay Lightning hockey game one time
Oh,
for an
wow.
award. Yeah, so those have been some really exciting moments. I think the most exciting moments for me with my project is when I'm able to speak with people, especially youth, and share my projects and share my story. I was able to speak at my Board of County Commissioners in Hillsborough County, and I was also able to speak to the Florida Governor, or former Florida Governor Rick Scott. So, just sharing our story and gaining support is how, like, we're gonna be able to grow our nonprofit and also inspire other people to help out and to start nonprofits of our own. So I'd say that's the most exciting moments of the nonprofit for me.
Yes, that's awesome. And I know like when Little Helpers, like pre, like when we used to like give toys to the children's hospital, I know we used to receive notes, like handmade notes, where they would be like, thank you so much, because this is not just a toy. This is like a ray of hope. And I know like we can connect that as well, just like with the books. Just kind of like, I think those are definitely the best memories of a nonprofit. And I know you're a Prudential winner, is that correct?
Yes, that is
What
correct.
in what year was that?
That was 2017.
2017. Okay. And I was 2020, so I was COVID year, so I missed that.
Oh,
Missed the
wow.
trip. But I think that's still, I think Prudential is like a really good motivation per se, just to like kind of like continue to fuel nonprofits. So I know that you're a rising senior. So what are your future plans for Eco Brothers?
Yeah, I think, this is the big push for me, especially in Tampa. I'll be applying to colleges, and I'm gonna try to make the most out of my project in Tampa while I can before I likely leave to go out of state, or to even go up to Gainesville for UF or wherever I go to college. I know I'm probably going to be out of Tampa, so I'm expecting to pass the project down to my brother, and
Okay.
I'm also expecting to try to continue my project wherever whatever city I plan on going to. I th think it's going to be important that I assess kind of what that community's needs are and what they might need help with before I kind of just, deep dive into helping them through my nonprofit. But I think that it's going to be really exciting being introduced to a new community, and also being able to teach my brother what I've been, doing and what we've been working on the past few years, and really pass it all down to him. So yeah.
That's awesome. So how old's your brother right now?
He is 13.
13. Awesome. So I actually have a sister. She's 11. She has her own little charity that falls under Little Helpers. It's called Jules for Joy. So I know after this, I'm definitely gonna pass that down to my younger sister as well. So I think that's also another thing we can connect on. I know I will also want to like try to continue Little Helpers wherever I go to college. And do you have any ideas? I know you want to study business and psychology, but do you have any other ideas on where you want to go or any specific courses or anything?
Well, like, for the specific college, it definitely changes every single month. I'm really just considering my options right now, but a few standout colleges have been Duke University for sure, the University of Pennsylvania, and the University of Florida, if I do decide to stay in state. Mm-hmm. And I think those all have really strong business and psychology programs. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be planning on double majoring if I can, just to okay. get the most out of it.
Uh-huh. That's awesome. And I went to UPenn recently on a college visit, and it's a gorgeous campus if you haven't it been is, already. Yeah. So yeah, and I know I'm also looking to apply to Duke and UPenn on the med track. So maybe if we get in, run into each other, then I'll see.
Yeah.
How have you been really balancing all this stuff with school, just like in high school and stuff?
Yeah, I think there's two things that you know, I do to kind of keep a low stress level and to balance everything. The first thing, I keep a mindset of everything is really easy and, you know, I can do this. Like, I really just keep a mindset of anything that I'm going into, I really make sure I'm planning it out, know what I'm getting into, but also thinking about how it's really easy. And the other thing is really, you know, doing things that I'm really interested in, doing things that are fun. So I think that's really good when you're doing stuff that you want to work hard on. You're going to end up working harder on things that you enjoy and that, you know, you think are fun. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And I just really agree with all that you're saying, because, you know, it's been really hard. I know there are points in time where I think I've just had to like prioritize myself and prioritize like school, where like over like little helpers at that moment, just could trying to get like the balance between both. So yeah. And outside of like Eco Brothers and nonprofits, what are your hobbies? What do you really like to do?
I'm involved in a lot of leadership type stuff. So going into next year, I'm going to be president of my student government, which
awesome.
Is going to be really,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And I'm also going to be vice president of our beta club. So
okay.
I'm really excited in being able to lead my peers into, I'm running the service sector of the beta club too. So I'm going to be able to directly impact, you know, what kind of service we're doing in our community. I also run my own Depop and Poshmark shops. So
okay.
That's just one of the fun hobbies that I do. I sell my old clothes, and I also go to Goodwill and types of businesses that like thrift shops, and I list type of items because I think it really helps me like get into business and
uh-huh.
you know, explore that hobby of mine. So yeah.
So what's a beta club? I'm not sure if we have one. I haven't really heard of it.
A beta club is very, very similar to National Honor Society.
Okay.
It's basically the same thing.
Okay, got it. And can you tell me more about your like Depop Posh? What is it? Sorry.
Yeah, Depop and Poshmark, they're just clothing
okay.
resale sites. So I started them kind of freshman year, and
okay.
I really just did it to sell my old family's clothes. And my mom really liked me doing it and really supported me doing it because we were able to just make money off of the old clothes that we were selling. And I was able to explore like types of business and learn how to make like the most out of like what I'm selling and stuff. And I kind of just run it in my house upstairs. And so I have
okay.
like cabinets. Yeah, I have cabinets like labeled of like each item, and like I sort everything and like I pack up everything. So it's just a fun hobby that I like to do. And, you know,
okay.
I like taking pictures, and I edit the backdrops out, and
uh-huh.
you know, it's just really fun like that.
That sounds awesome. That sounds really fun. I can't wait to check out all your stuff with that as well. So.
Yeah.
So I know we always like to end with a fun question. So since you do a lot with books, is there like a standout like children's book, like whether you when you were younger, like just kind of throughout, that you just really love reading?
Dang. Standout children's book, I would say in probably elementary school, I was definitely very interested in the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
Like my dream was to go to Universal for my birthday, and I actually did in fifth grade. And
awesome.
Me and my mom watched the movie series, and we read all the books together. So it's always been my favorite book. You know, being able to enter that like magical world was like really fun for me. So that's my standout book for
so
sure.
So Hogwarts, is that on your list too to apply?
Yes, of course. You know, I would literally always love to go there. That's literally been a childhood dream.
Yeah, funny story. I've never read Harry Potter, but maybe I'll get
oh,
to that soon.
You definitely have to. Yeah. It's never too late. It's never too late.
But thank you so much for being on our podcast today, Chase. And just for our listeners, where are like the different platforms and how could they connect with you?
Yeah. So our Instagram and Twitter is at readrepeat.org. And we have a link tree linked into all the bios. So you'll be able to find our website. It's ecobrothersinc.org. And all of our social medias, our fundraisers, news articles, everything you can find in the link tree.
Awesome. And it was so great having you on today. I think it's just been really great to connect with someone like, you know, my age, kind of with like similar experiences. So I hope that we can stay in touch as well and try to even combine something and do like an initiative project together.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me too. I really
Yeah,
enjoyed
and also you're up on our wall of inspiration, so that's also something really exciting.
it.
So yeah, once again, thank you so much. Do you have anything else to say to our listeners?
Just keep on going and keep making change in your community.
Great. Thank you so much, Chase. And with that'll be Rashika and Chase signing off for today. Thank you, everyone.
I hope you were inspired by today's awesome Little Helper. Check out our website, littlehelpers2015.org, and remember to stay kind, spread that inspiration, and radiate those good vibes. Bye.